I try to, when we sing the little songs we have up there on the wall up there, Terry, I try to pay attention to like who writes some of those songs, you know, and sometimes Dennis Jurgensen, am I saying that right? You know his story? Like he was in a questionable lifestyle. Dennis was a guy that was in the homosexual lifestyle movement. He wrote one of our songs. He said, well, how can that happen? Well, he got saved, got married. I think he has 8 or 9 kids now. God just totally changed his life, which just shows you, it demonstrates once again the power of the gospel. God's word is here to transform and change lives. I ran across a man during Sunday school this morning. He's one of the leaders in our church, and he said, Mike, I just get so excited about giving people these tracts. I said, where are you headed now? He said, I'm headed upstairs because one of our young people wants some tracts to give to some of her friends. And I said, man, that's great. He said, but I just love giving these things out, and not just here in our area, but he said, when we go different places around the state or in San Antonio or whatever, he said, I love to give these things out. And I would like to say, too, that the most exciting thing that I do in my life is have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, particularly if they let me talk to them. But sometimes I can just give them a gospel tract. And who knows who we're going to meet in heaven that took one of those tracts, got saved, we never saw them again, but we're going to meet them in heaven. Boy, that's going to be a great day. You want to be a part of that. We have been talking the last few Sundays about a powerful witness. We've been talking about avoiding things in our lives that diminish our witness. Right after the resurrection, the command that was given in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, go and be what? Witnesses. Go and be witnesses. And God wants us to be a powerful witness. And so today, I want to talk a little bit more about being a powerful witness. And let me just say, little is much when God is in it. The Lord wants to witness through our mouths, and He does that when we speak about Him, but He also wants to speak through our lives, through the testimony of our lives. We're going to have that illustrated for us this morning in 2 Kings and chapter 4, in a little story about the widow woman and her two sons and Elisha. This morning we spoke about Elijah, who was really referring to John the Baptist in his presentation of the Messiah. But this is the successor of Elijah, who is Elisha. So these were men who were special prophets before the Lord. And there's a little story here about his experience in his life. And this story, like a lot of other stories about his predecessor and himself, part of what's going on is not just about what God is doing in the life of an individual through the prophet, but also the whole nation. So God has this micro interest and a macro interest. He's interested in the individual and the personal needs of the individual, but He's also interested in the whole. He's interested in this case, at this juncture, the nation of Israel. And so as these little stories progress, they establish the ministry and the credibility of Elisha as a prophet from the Lord, so that the people would recognize it and would listen to what he was saying. Because what Elijah was doing was he was representing God. He was representing God's word and God's instruction. And so God wanted the people to listen to him. So this is one of those little excerpts of establishing his ministry. But in that ministry, it's speaking about God's interest in this individual and her sons, as well as the nation of Israel. So that's just a little backdrop. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah. Israel had a school of prophets. They had a good school, and they also had a bad school. There were prophets who claimed to be prophets of Baal. And you remember the story of King Ahab and Jezebel and their prophets of Baal and all of that, and Elisha stood up against them. Well, there was a good school too, and although these prophets were called prophets, they weren't like Elijah or Elisha in that God was doing miracles and things like that through them, but they spoke the word of God, and they reiterated to the people what God had already said. Well, this lady was married to one of them, and her husband died, so now she's a widow, and she cries out to Elisha, and she says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord." So Elisha knew him, had a relationship with him. "But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Well, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." And really, the text is saying that she had one serving of oil. That's all she had between her and her two sons. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. So she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." You know, really, this story parallels and is not unlike the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in that respect. Jesus says to the disciples, all these people are hungry, and really it was about 15,000 because they were only counting the men. So with the women and children, 15,000 to 20,000 people out there, and Jesus said it was the end of the day. The disciples said, "We better send all these people home because they're hungry." And Jesus says, "No, they're hungry. Let's feed them. You feed them." They're like, "Well, how are we going to do that? We've only got a few loaves and a few fishes." He said, "Feed them with what we have." I mean, paraphrased. And so he prayed over it. And sure enough, they took those few loaves, those few fishes, and they just kept multiplying. And so all the people ate that day. It was a miracle, right? And what was that doing? It was establishing the ministry and the person of Jesus Christ as he was representing God the Father and the Father's will. And so this miracle speaks to the people and says, "Man, you should listen to me because I am God. Only God can do this." And so we go back to the Old Testament. That's really what's going on with Elisha. And so God was not only interested about the individuals who were eating that day, but also corporately, he was interested in all of Israel and, of course, the whole world. So in this story, God is up to something and doing more than just establishing the ministry of Elisha. He's looking, yes, for the outlook of the nation Israel, but he's also, as we have already said, he is drilling down to this relationship that he has with this one woman and her two sons. I didn't come up with this, but I was reading the other day, and there's an acronym that a guy came up with, and the acronym is from the word bless, and I really liked it because acronyms can help us remember sometimes. If I give you 3 points that start with the same word, you might remember or not, but you can remember bless. That's a very familiar word to you. And we're going to see some of that. We're going to see some of that in this story as our overall goal is to have a powerful witness to the world. That's the command that God gave us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And so the B is for be in prayer. The L is for listen. The E, you'd never guess it, is for eat. The S is for serve, and this is where we're really headed, okay? The last S is for share your story. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to fulfill the command of Acts chapter 1. Yeah, I need my glasses, man. Hold on. Sometimes your pen will disappear because it's on an eraser, and I don't want it on an eraser. I want it on my pen right here, thick. There we go, okay. No. So now it's going to erase again. I don't want it on an eraser. Got it, okay? Different ink. I don't like it when y'all laugh at me. It does help wake you up, though, and kind of get you in the mood, I think, a little bit. So, okay. So, let's go back to the story, because this blessed thing, in many ways, is illustrated. Not in every way, but in many ways, it is. So this lady, she's got a real problem, right? She's a widow, big problem in that day. She didn't have Social Security. She didn't have Medicaid. She didn't have any of that. They didn't have equal rights. You know, the women weren't in the workplace. You're a widow. You got big problems. So her husband dies. Not only does he die, he doesn't have a life insurance policy, right? I mean, that's what that's for. She doesn't have it. She's got creditors. She's got to pay. They're going to come and get her two sons and take them off into slavery. It couldn't get worse. I mean, can you imagine the temptation for anxiety in that situation? Now, who is orchestrating all of this? Who is in authority? Who's in control? Who's sovereign? Who calls the shots when you die? I mean, this, her husband dying is not a surprise to God. God knows all about it. God knows all about her story and all about her life. God is the one who orchestrates our lives. And he is going to put things in our lives to bless us. And part of that blessing on that last S is to give you a story so you can share that story. Because the way to have a powerful witness, in fact, I would say the most powerful witness you can possibly have, is to be exhibiting faith in your own life. So if you have a problem that God has allowed in your life, if you have a difficulty, if you don't have fair weather today, and you have a pity party, and you hunker down, and you say everything is like the glass is not even there to be half empty. If you're like one of those Old Testament guys, and you kind of hunker down on the ground, you get a bunch of dirt to throw it up on your hair. You know, remember that story? You know, they just because they'd say, "Bury me, just go ahead and bury me, because life is too bad." And you just get depressed, you just get paralyzed, and then you're in that state, and then you go and witness to your neighbor. Do you think they're going to listen to you? No, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to say, "Man, you need help. You're trying to help me, but you need help." God wants to give us a story about how we trust him, how we put our confidence in him in spite of the bad weather. So God's going to allow these things to happen. So this lady, what does she do? Well, she has this problem. Instead of being paralyzed and hunkering down, she heads off for the man of God. Now, in her day, to talk to God is to talk to him. He represents the Lord. And so she addresses her prayer, she addresses her ask, her request to the man of God. That's exactly what God wants us to do. When you have a problem, sometimes the problem is so difficult and painful, it could feel like a flood that overwhelms you. I am not trying to diminish the degree of difficulty in some people's lives. What I am trying to do is say that God wants to help us. God wants us to trust in Him. You see, God wants us to say something like this: I don't necessarily understand everything that's happening. I don't understand all of the answers to the questions, but I do know this: God knows. God understands. And I'm going to trust in Him because He's made a promise to me. And maybe someday I'll understand. Maybe someday we'll have a talk and He can explain things to me. But until I get to that day, I just want everybody to know that I am trusting Him and I refuse to be overwhelmed, even though it's a very painful situation. Her situation was dire. It couldn't get any worse. They're fixing to cart her two sons off, man, to slavery. She might never see them again. They're not going to have any hope. What does she do? She doesn't get paralyzed. She doesn't check out. She doesn't head for the exit door. She goes for the man of God, and she says, I need help. Now, that's what God wants us to do, because God knows that sometimes you can be in a painful situation. God wants to help you. I mean, the Bible says that He's the God of all comfort. And He can comfort us with the comfort that He has for each of our lives if we'll let Him, if we'll approach Him. Well, she does. And so what does the man of God do? Now, here's a good thing. This is really interesting. He says, well, how can I help you? My problem is that when I'm visiting with a lot of people, I want to solve their problem for them. And they'll start telling me about their problem, and I know where they're going, and I'll cut them off, and I'll give them the answer. You know what Elijah did not do? He did not solve the problem for this lady. He knew that she had to make a decision. He could not make that decision for her. She was going to have to make a decision of faith. That's what each of us have to do. And God wants to give us room to be able to make that decision. He puts these circumstances in our lives, or He allows them, because we live in a world that's cursed and is evil, and there's cancer and bugs and snakes and all kinds of things, and vehicles sometimes that go places they're not supposed to go, and people get hurt. Things happen, but He has allowed this free world to go on. But the purpose behind it is to give us a story. That story requires a decision of faith. So He says, what do you want me to do for you? And she says, well, here's my situation. They're coming to get my sons. Got this huge problem. No money. We got one teaspoon of oil left, and we're done. It's over, okay? So He says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and to all your neighbors and get as many water basins, big basins, okay? This is not like a little pot, but get as many basins as you can in the text and bring them home. Now, does that sound logical to you? It sounds ridiculous. What am I going to do with empty basins? Okay? Now, what is she going to have to do? What's Elijah helping her to do? He's helping her in the area of faith. So she's having to do something that she may not understand. But she's relying on the man of God because she knows he speaks for God. So it's like when she trusts him, it's like she's trusting God because he speaks for God. And so what does she have to do? Number one, she has to go out of her house and she has to go get those water basins from her neighbors. That's an act of faith right there. The second thing she has to do is she has to tell her neighbors what she's doing. I need your water basins. For what? Ah, there's going to be the act of faith right there. She can keep it a secret, or she can speak what the man of God is telling her to do. Acting in faith. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. So in other words, when we have stuff in our lives, we don't understand it, it doesn't look like it's going to work out, are we going to put our trust in that, or are we going to trust in what God has said? God has made all these promises. Are they going to be good? So Bible says she went and did that. She came back, and then he told her, he said, take what you have and continue, the text is continue to pour it into the pots. Well, sure enough, the man of God said, asked one of her sons, said, hey, get me one more of those pots. And he said, I'm sorry, there aren't any more, they're all full. And of course, he asked that question to see if she had done what he had told her to do on exhibiting the faith before she was given the end result. And sure, and so when he learned that, he said, hey, take all those, take it, sell it. You'll have enough money to pay your creditor off, and you'll have money for y'all to eat too. So God provided for their need, but it took trouble, and it took an act of faith for them to get a story. Now, I'm going to say something to you, because God doesn't just work in one particular way. This is a story where everything turned out really nice. But what about when everything doesn't turn out to be really nice? But you trusted God. You had faith in God. I'm here to tell you that that's a story too. God doesn't just give us this powerful story and the things that work out, but even the things that don't work out. You see, because when we have a testimony that we're going to trust the Lord, even when things went awry, even when things didn't work out, that speaks volumes to people. Now, in this acronym, in this BLESS, the first thing that she did was she went to the Lord. She was in prayer. God wants us to ask. God wants us to have a conversation with Him. Secondly, when God spoke through the prophet, what did she do? She listened to Him. Now, two different words. There's one word, Shema, in the Old Testament. For here, it's used five times in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's in the imperative. You hear and obey. That's in the Hebrew. That was through Moses to Israel. But then in the New Testament, we have the same word in Greek in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are up there, and so they see Jesus in all his glory, and they hear God the Father speak, and he said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. That's in the Greek. Akouete is the imperative form. It's the second person plural imperative. And in the imperative form, God is saying through that language that there is not a stronger way I can command you to do something. So in the strongest way, God told the disciples, and he's telling you and me, that we need to listen to him. Now, listening is not always the same as hearing. Hearing is not always the same as listening, right? You can hear someone and not necessarily listen to them. One preacher said that he was in the living room watching the ball game, and his wife was in the bedroom, and she cut her finger, and it was bleeding really bad, and she screamed, and she said, I cut my finger. And he was watching the ball game. He said, that's nice, honey. He heard her, but he really wasn't listening to her, right? And then another preacher, it's funny how preachers have these kind of things going on. He said, honey, he told his wife, he said, I hear you and I understand you. She said, no. You do not hear me and understand me till I tell you, you have heard me, and I have told you, you have understood me. There's a difference, okay? The Lord doesn't want us to be like the guy in the epistle of James, and he sees himself in the mirror. He sees what God says to him about his life, and he says, yeah, I see I need to do some things here, but then he walks away and he forgets. No, he wants us to hear him. He wants us to really listen to his word and have confidence in his word and trust in his word, not walk away and forget. So that, remember, he can bless us. Bless us with what? A story when things work out and even when things don't work out. Now, what's the E for? It's for eating. When we are trying to witness to people, one of the things that we try to do is build relationships, right? We want to have a conversation. Well, you know, a lot of people in our country drink coffee. We all eat. So there are things, there are bridges that you can use to help build relationships with other people and so that you can witness and share your story. You only want to share the stories of things that have worked out in your life, right? No. You want to share stories that haven't worked out. You want to share stories about the trouble that you've had in your life, the pain, the difficulty, but yet, you know what? And you didn't do it all 100% right. You might have failed, but you learned from some of those failures. You learned from some of your mistakes. You might have sinned. And you learned from that, and God forgave you, and he restored you, and he reconciled you, and he changed your life, and he brought you some comfort, even though you still don't have all your answers. That's a story as you're building a bridge and having a conversation with someone. Bless, B-L-E-S, and you have the attitude of a servant. Not a person who's high up on his horse, knows all the answers to all the questions, Mr. Know-it-all. No, but a person who is compassionate and understanding. Not a person that says, well, let me tell you, that's not going to get you anywhere. Humility, an attitude of being a servant, so that lastly, you can share your story. This lady here, did she have a story or what? And how did she get this story? It was not through fair weather. It was through bad weather. It was through tough times. God saw her through. But even if God wouldn't have answered in the way he did, we still have a story about the Lord because he has eternal things that he does in our lives. And many of those things we don't understand and we don't see. But we're going to trust him. God keeps all of his promises even though we don't understand. God wants to bless us. In the Abrahamic covenant, God said in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. God wants to make you a blessing. One of the greatest ways he can do that is by being a witness, a powerful witness for him. Let's pray. Is there something in your life, some experience or circumstance in your life that you need to turn from in a negative way? You've had a negative attitude, or maybe you've been hunkering down. Maybe you've been trying to avoid the Lord or his people or the Word of God or prayer because you just kind of headed for the exit door because the pain, the difficulty, the hurt, the loss, not understanding has driven you away. This morning, turn back to the Lord like this lady did. Reach out to the Lord. Ask him for help. Ask him for comfort. Ask him to bless you. Ask him to give you a story so that you might be able to witness to others, to share with others about Him. Why? We still have time. Remember, when we die and go to heaven, there won't be anybody to witness to. Everyone there will be saved. And all the lost people that are still on the earth, you will not be able to help one of them. You will not be, you won't be able to speak to one of them. No, we got to do it while we have time. We got to do it while the Lord has put us here on the earth during this short time. And you don't want anything to diminish your witness. Pray. Be in prayer. Listen. Strike up a conversation with someone. Have a servant's attitude so that you can have a story to share.